And as we stay here, our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2. Continuing on, you know, the Christmas story doesn't stop with Christmas. It continues. So this is Luke 2, chapter 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, and the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, or of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
Father God, I ask that these words that I speak will bring honor and glory to your name. Open the hearts of each one here, including me, Lord. May we hear you speak today. Before I start, I need to tell a story, and I have to tell you I'm very sad that the children left already. Because on Christmas Eve, I was with my 6-year-old grandson wheeling a shopping cart out of a store, and he all of a sudden said, "Grandma, there's my family." And I thought, "What on earth?" And he goes, "There's my family. They're going to see their gifts." And I went, and he goes, "Grandma, that's our family. We have to hide." And I said, "Okay," and I ducked down. And he led us up an aisle, down an aisle, through the store to another exit. We went out the exit, and we got in the car. I put stuff in the car. He got in the car. I went and put the basket, shopping basket, away, and I went and got in the car. And then from the back seat, I heard, "Grandma, we played a risky game. We made it. We made it just in time." And then I started singing with him, because that is a song from Nathaniel the Grublet, which is a children's musical. We sang it all the way home, and we laughed all the way home. We really felt like we had done something super special. Do you ever break out in song? Just sing out in joy? I'm going to put my Bible right here. Well, sometimes I do. When something really terrific has happened to me, especially if it is something that I've longed for, prayed for, really wanted, I don't sing well, but I still might sing wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, God just made a wall fall down, which is what the tailor sang in Fiddler on the Roof. Of course, there are those times, though, that I have prayed and waited in anguish for something. And there are those times that I have wondered, God, why is this happening? And you know, I've lived long enough now that I have experienced driving down the road, having country music on in my radio, and all of a sudden I will be singing with Garth Brooks, I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Yeah. Faith and song seem to go together for all of us. Even for those of us who do not sing well, song still messages our soul. It speaks to our hearts. And broadly speaking, a song is just words. It's words that are intended to be sung or to be said with the human voice in rhythm. And Scripture has many songs. The whole book of Psalms is songs. There's many more. But I want to think now, I'm going to just set this right here for now. I want to mention the songs of Christmas, because we've just gone through Christmas. So let's think. There was Mary's song. There was Elizabeth's song. Zachariah's song. And, of course, there was the angels' beautiful singing. And then we come now to the song of Simeon. And we're going to talk today about the song of Simeon. But all of these Christmas songs, they've just burst out. They just burst out from hearts that were full after monumental events. And through the centuries, songs have become part of the Christmas story, told to us over and over again. And Christmas songs, both old and new, most of them do tell the Christmas story beautifully, or a part of it. Not all of them, but most of them do. And unless we are listening, unless we are really listening to them, we don't often hear what it's saying because we're so familiar with what the words say. We just say them from memory. But we don't want to do that. No. We want to listen and hear fresh and new, not only the Christmas songs, but the hymns we sing week after week. There's a devotional book, Amazing Grace, in which I found the words by Josiah Holland. He wrote them in the mid-1800s, and I just thought they were so beautiful. I want to just read them to you. There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while the beautiful sing. For the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. We want the miraculous energy of music to touch our hearts. We want the truth of the words of song to renew our awe and our wonder in the Christmas story. The birth of a baby. And it used to be, when pastors had to preach on Simeon and Anna, they would say, there's very little for me to share about baby Jesus. And there is. There's very little. But in the 21st century, we have the research of John Medina. And Dr. John Medina's research on babies' brain development gives us just a little bit more to think about baby Jesus. Dr. Medina's research determined that a baby's preferences are affected before birth by the things they hear in the womb. A baby will recognize its mother's voice and turn its head immediately after birth towards its mom. So, if we go back to the things that we are told of in Scripture that baby Jesus would have heard while in his mother's womb, and immediately after birth, we can kind of assume a few things. We can assume, because of modern research, that the singing that happened, and perhaps some of the actions of the people around Jesus, that they helped prepare him for his human life on earth. Certainly if it didn't happen then, but they were repeated later in his childhood, they were something that he learned. When grown up, Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" It is the Christmas song that so eloquently asks and answers for us, "What child is this?" And then the refrain bursts forth, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Jesus, both human and God, while in the womb, he heard those praises sung. He heard them sung to God, to him. As a newborn human baby, Jesus heard praises sung to himself and his heavenly Father. Jesus also spent a lot of time around godly people, and godly people who trusted and obeyed God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Our scripture today focuses on God. It's not just Simeon and Anna. It focuses on God. God works through people who trust and obey. Now, Mary and Joseph trusted and obeyed God. Simeon and Anna trusted and obeyed God. We are to trust the all-powerful, almighty creator God. God will do what scriptures tell us. He did then, he will now. So if we go back to the things that we are told of in scripture that Jesus would have heard, we realize that there's things he learned. And so even when he was just a six-week-old baby, he was taking in certain things. Simeon and Anna give us an example, because Simeon and Anna were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were waiting for God to do something, and they recognized baby Jesus at 6 weeks old. Many others did not recognize him, even when he told them later that he was the Messiah. And many today do not recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior. Yet, two old folks, Simeon and Anna, they took one look at six-week-old baby Jesus, and they knew who he was. And the message of our scripture today is important. It's important to the Christmas story, and yet I wonder. I have never, but I didn't want to use the word never. I thought I'd better say seldom in case. But I have never seen Simeon and Anna in a nativity scene or a crèche. And yet the message is so important. So I really did a lot of thinking about that. And I thought, well, Mary and Joseph and Simeon and Anna, they knew God. They were waiting for God. And God showed up. God came to them. All the other people in the crèche, they were seeking Jesus. They were going to look for Jesus. Simeon and Anna met Jesus long before the Magi ever did, but they're not mentioned. We don't have them in the crèche at all. Most people, they were waiting for a mighty king to come in with trumpets and all. And Simeon and Anna, they looked at baby Jesus and they knew that he was that mighty king. Perhaps they knew because the Holy Spirit said so and told them in their hearts. But I suspicion that the shepherds had something to do with Simeon and Anna waiting as they were. There has been speculation by scholars that the shepherds, after the angels sang and after they ran and saw baby Jesus, that they did indeed go and tell every single person they ever saw in the next 6 weeks of time what had happened and that this baby was the Messiah. Now, perhaps the shepherds sold lambs to be used as a sacrifice at the temple, or perhaps they themselves went to the temple and told people. Well, that's all speculation, and I know that's speculation. But still, it seems probable that Simeon and Anna heard stories, and they were on alert, and they were ready, and they were waiting for a baby that the shepherds had told them about. So I want to take you back. Let's go back, and just in part, I want to reread the story of
the shepherds. It happens that it is the paragraph right before Simeon, the story of Simeon and Anna. So
let me read it to you.
And this is abridged. I abridged it. It is from the Message Translation. I love the Message Translation of the Bible. I can sit and read it like a novel. It's not one to study, but boy, when I just want to read, it's lovely. So Eugene Peterson calls the story of the shepherds an event for everyone. There were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. An angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Now, the sheep herders told everyone they met what the angels had said about the child, and all who heard the sheep herders were impressed. So, I say it is very possible Simeon and Anna had heard the sheep herder's story. And however they heard it, it's all surmising it, but I think they must have. And you know why? Because even today, God works through ordinary, normal people. In your life and in my life, someone may ask you a question. They may mention something that's happened to them. They may give you a warning. And those things can inspire us to do something that later we realize, oh, that was God. That was divine intervention, and God was helping me to get whatever done. Yet circumstances can also become very confusing, even when we are super confident we are right in the middle of God's will for our lives. Tough stuff happens. Mary and Joseph, they trusted God with little view of what the future held for them. Just think back. I'm going to take you to Matthew 1:24, which tells us that Joseph went to sleep, and when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord told him to do, and he took Mary home as his wife. Now, Joseph trusted and he obeyed God when he had very good reason to really question what was going on. And then Mary and Joseph were so far from home, and she went into labor, and she delivered her baby in a stable. I can't imagine any woman who wouldn't have thought, God, why here? Life was not happening as this young couple had dreamt it would happen. They experienced something totally different. And here I can imagine Mary and Joseph feeling very confused, but they made a choice, a definite choice, to trust God. And you know, there was a few weeks ago, I was in the midst of a time that I needed to trust God. And Lola, Lola sent me a website to go check music. And I heard this song. And when I was preparing our sermon, I thought, oh, I bet Mary felt the same way. So let me just read the words to you. It's trust in you, letting go of every single dream. I lay each one down at your feet. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. I will trust. I will trust. I will trust in you. Mary and Joseph trusted God. You know, they did a little more than that. They also obeyed the civil law. They did what Caesar Augustus told them to do, and in their obedience, prophecy was fulfilled. They were told to go to Bethlehem, and they did. And while they were there, baby Jesus was born. We know that. And then the angels shared about Jesus with the shepherds. Then the shepherds shared with everybody they could. And they shared the gospel. They shared what they had seen Jesus do. And it's good to share the gospel with others. You know, just a month ago, we had the women's Christmas dessert. And Patty Smith, she shared her story of Jesus with everyone. She shared the gospel. And she sent each one of us home with the written gospel, too. And I suspect because of her sharing, there's some out there seeking after Jesus now. And it's because Patty shared. She shared as the shepherd shared. There are three times that we are told the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. God gave to Simeon prophetic information that led him to know that God's plans were for the entire world. Not just Jerusalem, not Israel, but the world. And you know, I venture that God sent Simeon to give a warning to Mary and Joseph, to warn them of what was ahead of them. And Simeon arrived at the temple exactly by divine appointment, just as the young family arrived. And what was Simeon's response to the promptings of the Holy Spirit when he saw Jesus? He broke out in song. He sang a prayer. Simeon began singing a blessing over Jesus. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the light of all nations, a light for revelations to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon's song echoed the exact words the angel sang: "Peace on earth, goodwill to all men." Simeon took baby Jesus from Mary into his own arms, and Simeon continued the blessing. But he said ominously to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and he is to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Before Mary or Joseph could absorb those words, Anna swooped in like any good grandma would, and she saved the day. At the very moment that Simeon told Mary a sword would pierce her soul, Anna stepped in. She cheerfully took baby Jesus from Simeon, and Anna, a very spiritual and a very old widow, she successfully deflected those words. She spoke to everyone she could about Jesus, because that's what believers in Jesus do. We talk to others about Jesus. I know another woman just like Anna, the mother of my husband. She reminds me of Anna. There she is. There's the oldest member of our family holding the youngest member of our family. Mom is 89. She's a widow. She lives alone in a Christian retirement community. She no longer drives her car, but it's in the garage there. She does get around on a little electric scooter. Mom reads her Bible every day. She does daily bread too. And she will speak about Jesus to anyone who will listen to her. She prays, she worships in her community. She longs for the day when Jesus will come again and take her to heaven. Mom has said, "I want to go to heaven." Whenever anything awful happens, even the recent, and I'm not calling them awful, but the recent presidential fiasco we went through, as it was happening during the summer, Mom would say, as I've heard her say many times before when she was upset about something, "Surely Jesus is going to come again soon." She's waiting. She's waiting for Jesus. Mom, Anne, is a modern-day Anna. She has trusted and obeyed God. She's ready and she's waiting for the Lord. Simeon and Anna were everyday normal people who loved God and were involved serving in the temple. They had been around a while and they were well-respected people because they cared for and they encouraged people. Now, I understand, I did not know her, but I understand most of you would say Billy Franklin was the Rose Hill Church Anna. I know because so many of you have told me what a spiritual giant she was and how she encouraged and loved and helped you. There are people just like Simeon and Anna in this church and other churches. Now I have, I wish Don Gilley were here because I have a picture of Don Gilley. He has been ushering and handing out bulletins just like that every week except today that I have been here for the past year. Don meets with a group of men every single Thursday here at church. And you know, there's a group of women. Every Monday they're here. Hours, Monday after Monday after Monday, quilting, making beautiful quilts for our community. There are many others in our congregation and in our life who are like Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna, they did encourage the new parents, Joseph and Mary. And you know, Cheryl Mintleader, she's our Rose Hill Church Administrator, works in the office every week. She mentors preschool moms. She's still a mom herself, but she mentors those who are younger than her. And those of us who have been there and done that, we need to do those things. When there's somebody who needs help, and we've been there and done it, we need to step in and help. I'm wondering if Mary, through all the confusion of the things that happened, if her family, I wonder if she wondered if her family could ever be normal. And I think Simeon and Anna were able to help her with that. And the reason I say so is because they come across to me as the typical male, female, grandma, granddad that we have. You know, they gave her a warning and they gave her joy, and we do that. Life is full of warnings and joy. Simeon had bitter foreboding of what was ahead, and Anna was just gushing joyous over this beautiful baby boy. I do think that that is what life is about. Life is bitter and life is sweet. And as I look at the Christian story itself, well, the birth of Jesus is beautiful. It's sweet. The Christmas story of Jesus is full of song and story, and it gives us hope, and hope is so very sweet. But then there's a rejection of Jesus by the Jewish people. And we see the anguish of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It is so very bitter. I really wonder if Jesus found comfort, if he found strength from what he had gotten from his family in his early childhood. Did his family influence him with song? Well, they certainly did when he was a baby, and I would just assume if they're a singing family back then, they would have continued. Song and music, they're universal, and at the same time, a song can be extremely personal. Song can form a bond with all those who have heard it or ever sung it. Anne Box, my own personal Anna, she has been singing "I'll Be Loving You Always" since the 50s when her children were born. She sang them to them. She sang them to our children in the 70s and 80s. And the great-grands of hers know it well. And there was not one dry eye when Patsy Cline's version was sung at Dad's memorial service by his request last March. We were all strengthened by remembering that we were loved. A simple song like "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," when you're laying on a gurney in the hospital waiting to go into surgery, can be such a blessing. It can give us such great comfort while it reminds us we are not alone. Jesus, when in great anguish, did just as Joseph and Mary had done. He trusted and he obeyed, and he went forward and did what God had him do. He did it all the way to crucifixion and death. So bitter a day that it was dark. But then, just as Anna swooped in, so does Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday comes with joy, to which again, I couldn't help but use these hymn lyrics. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Jesus, he arose a victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Jesus, he arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. And life doesn't get any sweeter than that. The words of Simeon and Anna's blessing to the family of Jesus, they do tell us that God's purposes extend far beyond that time, and they tell us they extend beyond our time today to all people. As a baby in Mary's womb and after his birth, Jesus heard from others that he would be the Messiah. He heard that he would be the Messiah, that he was the Messiah, and would save people from their sin. We have heard, we have been told, and we have heard from pastors, from Sunday school teachers, we have heard Jesus is the Messiah. We will tell others Jesus is the Messiah. The Gospels testify to us who Jesus is. The Gospels look back and they remember Jesus as human in history. And all four of the Gospels and our hymns, carols, and choruses, they tell about the life, the teaching, the miracles of Jesus, who is alive. Jesus the Messiah is alive today. And the Gospels are written to convince the reader that Jesus saves people. Jesus saved people then, and Jesus saves people now. And the singing of Christian song tell us again and again who Jesus is. However, there's more. There is more to knowing Jesus than just reading the Gospels, just singing our hymns. The more, it's called faith. It is choosing to believe in the mystery of Jesus. The mystery of our faith. The mystery of our faith is that Jesus died. Jesus is risen. And Jesus is coming again. Jesus, the Son of God, who created everything imaginable. He was born to earthly parents who had nothing, but he gave them everything. He does the same for you and for me. We really have nothing of value until we have Jesus. And then we too have everything. Do you know Jesus? How well do you know Jesus? When Mary and Joseph had done everything required, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. They picked up their baby boy and they went home. And at home is where Jesus grew, and he became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Thus we close the baby album of Jesus. It holds a very small, short picture of him. But Jesus grew, and as a man with his disciples, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus asks each of us, "Who do you say I am? What child is this?" This is Christ the King. Pray with me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is so hard to understand, and thus we must accept by faith that you, Jesus, you are God. You are God the Father, you are God the Son, you are God the Spirit. You are three, you are one. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to come now. If there's any heart seeking Jesus, God, may they find him. May they find you. Lord, if there's any of us here who have believed for a long time, but we struggle with our faith, God, strengthen our faith. Change us. Make us good and holy, and make us trust you. Help us to trust you and to obey you. Amen.